We take the Lord's Supper believing that our Savior brings blessing and true spiritual nourishment through the supper, but only to those who receive the supper by faith. The Lord's Supper becomes an effectual means of blessing and spiritual nourishment only by the blessing of Christ and the working of the Spirit in those that by faith receive the supper. Faith in Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and we rest upon Him alone for salvation as He is offered to us in the gospel. Therefore, the Lord's Supper is for believers only. We further believe that believers should be baptized upon their profession of faith and be members of a gospel-preaching church, unless in transitory circumstances, before they partake of the supper with us here in this particular congregation. If you have any questions about this, you can ask one of the elders. And do note that juice is provided for those who, for health or other reasons, cannot take wine. The juice is provided in the very center portion of the serving dish, and the wine is in the outer rings. The book of Revelation begins with these words. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things he saw." And then John, by the direction of this angel who is being directed by the Lord himself, John says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." Now, to you who the Lord calls his saints, to you who are his holy ones, to you who he calls his precious little ones, to you who he calls his precious little lambs, to you who have been brought into his fold, to you who dwell in the safety of his pasture, do you need strength to hear what you've just heard? It says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who keep the things written." Do you need strength for this? To hear and to keep. Then take the supper with remembrance of Christ. Feed upon Christ with the promise that he will strengthen you. It's interesting to me that by the direction of the angel John, I suppose he could have started in a lot of places. But he goes on to say, "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come." We can imagine that John is escorted not to an earthly tent and not to an earthly temple, but he's taken to the temple. He's taken to the reality. And he doesn't begin in some outer place beyond, but he's taken immediately to the throne. We're taken immediately, first, right off the bat, it's to him. To him most glorious, to him most wise, to him most magnificent, most good, incomprehensible, most gracious and patient to those who come before him with humility, and most perfect in his wrath, most perfectly not acquitting the guilty. We're taken to him. And most amazingly, we read these words, "Grace to you and peace from him." So the angel takes John to the throne, and through John and through this word, we're taken to not a copy throne, not a shadow throne, but to the throne and to him who is on that throne. And then, as it were, the angel, through John, pushes us, and we're made to take a step backwards. And he pushes us back out of the Holy of Holies and into the holy place where we observe the seven spirits who are before his throne, into this place in the earthly copies represented by a seven-branched lampstand, and by that light, the table of incense of acceptable prayers was illuminated, and that table with bread whereby men and God have a fellowship meal upon the terms of friendship and upon the terms of peace. We're pushed back into that space where there is no natural light. There's no light of this creation. There is no life of this creation enlightening or enlivening the acceptable prayers that come before the throne or this table of friendship and fellowship. Completely dark, except for the illumination of the sevenfold, glorious Holy Spirit. In ancient Egypt, there were times when they worshipped the sun god. And some of the temples that were constructed and devoted to that false religion, they had no roofs. The temple complex had no roof. And the point was so that the light of the sun could illuminate their so-called holy places. It was a light of this creation which illuminated the holy places for them. But not this place. There's no natural light. And there's no natural life that enlightens and illuminates and enlivens these prayers and this fellowship. Consider. But then the Spirit pushes John and forces him to take another step backwards. And by John and by the Scripture, we are made to take another step backwards, not in this copy temple, but the temple. And now we're pushed back into the court where the offering was made. Grace and peace, not only from him who is and who was and who is to come, and grace and peace from the seven spirits who are before his throne, but now grace and peace to you, his little lambs, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. We're now here, place where the offering is made, and to him who made the offering. Firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Here is our great testifier. Here is our great priest, who is our great king, who is a king over the kings of the earth, our great prophet, priest, and king, firstborn from the dead. Behold, here is our priest who made an offering of himself. Consider, dear saints, consider this. And then we read these words. To him, and that is to Jesus Christ, regarding Jesus Christ, this faithful witness, he who is the Word, to him, Jesus Christ, who is the firstborn from the dead, to him who is the ruler over the kings of the earth, who loved us. Who loved us in that offering. Who loved us in the sacrifice of himself. Who loved us in the shedding of his blood. So vividly portrayed to us here. And then the angel, he pushes John to take a step forward. Because he says, to him who loved us and who washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, from the altar of offering, we are made to take a step forward by this love and by this offering to the laver, to the bowl, whereby Christ, by his Spirit, applies to us the benefits of the shedding of his blood. He washes us effectively by his Spirit, applying to us the benefits of his work for the forgiveness of our sins. By his own blood, he has washed us from our sins. and has made us kings. Well, I thought he was the king, yes. I thought he was the King of Kings. And yes, he is the king over the kings of the earth. And as Daniel so long ago foretold of this heavenly sent king who would receive himself a kingdom, but then he would turn and he would share his kingdom with his people. Makes us kings. Well, I thought he was the priest. Yes, he is the priest who turns and he shares priestly privileges with his people. And that's why then we can say, who has made us kings, or why the text says, has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so the Spirit pushes John to take another step forward, to come back before the throne. Grace and peace from him. And now we come before the throne by this offering, by this washing, by this enlivening, by this enlightening. We come again back to the throne with kingly privileges and with priestly privileges. Dear saints, when you take the supper, do so with remembrance of Christ. Remember his love. Remember his washing. Feed your soul with him. Feed your soul with the shedding of his blood. Feed your soul with the washing. Feed your soul with the assurances of the forgiveness of your sins. Feed your soul with the assurances that you dwell and you live not by any natural light of this creation, but by the life and the light of the Holy Spirit himself. He is the one who is the illuminator and the enlivener of you as you make your feeble prayers before the throne that rise to the throne as a sweet-smelling incense. It is by his light and life that you are there at that table before God with the terms of friendship and peace. You are the one brought before the throne with kingly and priestly privileges. Dear saints, feed your soul upon these truths. Feed your soul upon the love of Christ so vividly portrayed. Feed your soul with his love. Feed your soul with his mercy. And so find strength to hear and to keep the words of this prophecy.